This is the Mike McFeely Show on Live Local First, 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
You know, I just heard that promo for the North Dakota State victory over Kansas State on Friday, and I know it's now getting a few days away, and I know that the season must go on, and the Bison play, Ferris State of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Conference, a Division II conference on Saturday. And I know that's going to be a huge, great game that's not going to be a blowout for NDS. Yeah, it will be. They're going to crush them. But I know all of that. I know it's all going to be looking ahead. But funny, as I sit here listening to the promo of Craig Bohl talking about Kansas State and Scott Miller doing his thing, I look on one of the TV monitors in our studio here at KFGO, and guess what's on Fox Sports North right now instead of the Twins game? Replay of the Bison Kansas State game. Now, I don't mean to drive people away from KFGO and drive them to their TVs, but the fact is the score right now in the Bison game is 21-17 Kansas State, and that means it's the fourth quarter, and that means pretty soon NDSU is going to get the ball back with 8.5 minutes to go, 80 yards away. So we can watch that, Pinto, as we're sitting here in the studio.
Relive it.
Well, not that, yeah. Relive
but even so, it's kind of fun because we didn't get a chance to watch the game on television, which is kind of a different way to view it.
Oh, sure. You can see the replays and you can hear the commentary and all that stuff, but you're exactly right. So that's on TV on Fox Sports North right now. We have a big program ahead, as always. Dick Bramer, 3:35. He's the Twins play-by-play broadcaster on Fox Sports North. Twins playing as we speak. It's not on TV. So Mr. Bramer has a chance to join us at 3:35 for his usual Wednesday bit. We have some other things coming up as well we'll tell you about later. But we're going to kick off the show today, the Mike McFeely Show, by talking with Fargo Police Lieutenant and huge Bison fan, by the way, who I see roaming around tailgating every Saturday at the Fargo Dome. His name is Joel Vettel, and he joins us on the Mike McFeely Show right now. Hello, Lieutenant. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me, Mike.
You bet. We'll get to tailgating in a bit here, because there are some things you want to get out there about tailgating as it pertains to the Bison game coming up on Saturday. But the main reason that you're here, Lieutenant, is human trafficking has been in the news recently. I think there was a recent sentencing of Chad Lindley, I think the guy's name is, got 8 years for human trafficking. He's a Fargo guy. And I know that when Police Chief Keith Turnus is in, we often talk about human trafficking and prostitution and backpages.com and all these things. But I wanted to have you in today to maybe strike home on some of these things some more, because you talk about prostitution, you talk about some of these things, people kind of look the other way and go, who cares? You know, the cops are stinging these Johns in these hotels, and who really cares about it? It's a victimless crime. It's an adult man and woman. I think you're here to say that's not always the case. It's not a victimless crime.
You know, we certainly can understand where people would look at prostitution and on the surface would say, yes, this is a victimless crime. It's too what we would say consenting adults typically that are participating in an exchange money for a service. And what not only is prostitution illegal, I think what people really need to understand is everything that comes along with that issue. And I think probably the one that really strikes a chord in people's, I hope, in their hearts and in their minds is the issue that we have seen, not just in our community, but certainly nationally, and that is really the issue of involving minors. And that's probably something that is forgotten, is oftentimes left out of the story. Because I think when we talk about the exploitation of anybody, that's terrible. But when you talk about the exploitation of a child in a sexual type of situation, that's a tragedy. And I think what we want to remind people that it's happening, and it's happening here. And we have, even in this case, there was at least one of the females that was associated with this gentleman that was a minor, that was under the age of 18. And when you have a situation like that where these folks are actually going out and seeking underage females and underage males to participate in this type of activity and oftentimes exploiting them for a number of ways and reasons, that is certainly something that we need to address. And that's why we do these sting operations. That's why we take a very serious stance on this issue. And that's just one portion of prostitution. Some of the other ones is the violence it brings along. We have a number of cases that we've had in our area and other cases where, in other areas where people, they take and utilize prostitution as a way to take and rob people and really take and assault the Johns. And then also there's the drug culture. We see oftentimes these folks that are coming in to pimp out females and coming into our community. Not only are they doing that, but they're bringing along drugs to sell along with that that sex trade. And so there's a number of things, a number of dynamics just within that group that we really need to address. And I think we are certainly taking a strong stance and will continue to take that strong stance. And even though we get some criticism for some of those techniques, that's not going to deter us from the bigger picture and trying to solve these types of issues.
Well, and I think, you know, people need to realize, you know, when they talk about the police force, whether it's in Fargo or West Fargo or Moorhead or any place else, you know, wanting them to turn a blind eye to prostitution or say, hey, you know, what is this hurting? People have to remember that's not the police's job. Your job is to enforce the laws that are on the books, correct? And so, you know, for you guys to say, well, it's not that big of a deal, that's not your call to make. Your job is to protect and enforce the laws, correct?
You are exactly right. And I think what we have done is struck a very good balance of addressing not only the legality issues of these types of crimes, but also quality of life. And I think when we talk about the quality of life that we have in our community, I obviously people don't live here for the weather. They live here because of the quality of life that's provided to us as citizens of this region. And part of that is living in a very safe community. And part of that safety is for us to address those issues as we refer to as the broken window theory. We know if we take care of these maybe what people consider minor issues, and prostitution certainly not a minor issue, but it's one of those issues that has broader and more severe consequences if we don't address it as completely as possible. And that's why we're very proactive. We're very instrumental in trying to get these things done as quickly as possible. Our officers are extremely thorough in their investigations because they want to provide the best possible cases so when we do bring these to trial, we get convictions and we get good quality sentencing. And that's something we're continuing to work with the prosecution on as far as the state's attorney's office, and also trying to address that with some of our judges and just say, you know what, this is a serious issue in our community. We need the sentences to really reflect the severity of the crimes. And I think we did see a sentence of 8 years in this gentleman, and we certainly applaud that, but we would certainly encourage and continue to encourage even stronger sentences in these types of cases.
I think when you talk about human trafficking, that does strike a chord when you talk. That's a bad, I think anybody can agree, boy, human trafficking is you're literally using human beings as a commodity to sell or buy or it's a terrible phrase, it's a terrible idea. But then when you bring in the factor of minors and minor girls and minor boys, we're talking 15, 16, sometimes younger, I would presume, 17-year-old boys and girls, that really hits home because we all know or all have children of that age. These pimps, how do they find these children? Do they take advantage of poor home situations? Do they take advantage of homeless situations? Do they take advantage of what situations and where do they find these kids? Are they local kids?
I think probably the biggest thing is they take advantage of people that are disadvantaged. They really target folks that are not only adults, but children alike that need something. And oftentimes with adults, it's drug addictions, it's loss of incomes, it's types of things like that. But with minors, oftentimes it's just lack of parents, lack of family home, lack of home in general, and they target these folks in a variety of ways. Do we have them targeting runaways in some of our major cities? Certainly. But some that we've seen recently have been through technology, through the internet. Mm-hmm. They actually go reach right in through the screen of a computer and grab a hold of a child and literally drag them into the sex trade business. And that is something that we've strongly emphasized with parents, that they need to monitor what their children are doing on the internet. And this is just one more example. We've had a number of cases that we've handled in conjunction with some of our major cities, Minneapolis in particular. They've contacted us and said, hey, we have what we feel is a sex trade operation that may be coming to your community. and we've assisted them on several cases that involve children as young as 14. Mm. And they're bringing those into Fargo, and certainly we have the clients that are participating in this action. But just like the drug trade, we try to roll up, and we try to move up in that hierarchy, and that's why we try to target those pimps. Because those are the ones that are really taking advantage of other people, exploiting other people, and taking that to the next level where they're actually profiting off the suffering of other people. And that's why we work so hard on this case. We'll continue to work hard on these cases. They're extremely difficult to often investigate because there's a code of silence amongst many of these folks. But we're going to continue to do these things because we know that's the only way to really address it as a sickness, as a whole. And that's what we need to do.
The Fargo Police Lieutenant Joel Vettel, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. We're going to have him stick around maybe for most of this hour to talk about not only human trafficking, and we'll hit on that in the next segment. I want to talk about the way that people get a hold of these young people through things like backpages.com. And I know that, you know, bigger cities like Minneapolis have looked at that and said, we're not going to allow that in our city anymore. I would guess that the police department in Fargo would like it if locally that would not happen as well. We'll talk with Lieutenant Vettel about that. Also, we'll lighten things up toward the end of the interview and talk about some tailgating. It's going to be a lot of people in North Fargo on Saturday wanting to have fun, wanting to tailgate before the Bison Fair Estate blowout that NDSU is going to do, but people still want to have fun. We'll talk about that and much, much more right here on the Mike McFeely Show. And is you have the ball yet, Pinto, on the TV there in our studio?
Just about. Kansas State's going to punt it here right now.
Now. Okay, they just punted, so NDSU's going to take over the ball at their own 20 with 8.5 minutes. No, what, 8:50 or so left in the game. Then we're going to start our drive, we being the Bison, not me. The Bison will start their drive in just a couple minutes here on TV. We are here in the KFGO studio with Fargo Police Lieutenant Joel Vettel. We're talking human trafficking. We'll get to some other things later. One thing I wanted to touch on with you, Lieutenant, was how people find out about these children being available for sex and how they get in contact with the pimps. Because I would guess that in today's online world, there are places like backpages.com where if you showed me right now, I wouldn't know anything about it, but I'm sure you could show me easily. You go to a website and you can find code words and you can find certain things that lets you know, hey, you know what, there's a 15-year-old available for prostitution here. Is that the way it works? And how can you stop this from happening in our town?
Well, I think the easiest way is that if you were to pull up Craigslist, you pull up some of those back page ads, oftentimes you read those ads, and I think anybody that's reasonable, that's intelligent, would understand that many of them are not legit. They often advertise as a one-on-one dancers or other things. In fact, the exact ad that was posted by our suspect that ultimately was convicted and ultimately sentenced here this week, he provided this. It says, gorgeous young woman between the ages of 18 and 40 years old, ready to make up to $10,000 or more a week. Must be experienced and know what the job is, professionally seductive, passionate, and most of all, it has to be sexy. And that's the exact ad that he posted on a Craigslist ad. And I think anybody looking at that would go, that's pretty interesting. How would somebody make $10,000 a week based on that information? And I think reasonable people would say something's amiss and something's wrong. And that's exactly what this is happening here. These are the types of ads that are posted. Unfortunately, we have a number of people that respond to those, and some of those being children. And that's how they hook them. They meet with them, and then from then, it's literally taking advantage of a situation.
You know, we're running out of time in this segment. I want you to stick around for one more segment because we'll talk a little bit more about human trafficking, then we'll move on to other things. But it's not just the internet. Our local newspaper that employed me for 25 years, there are ads in the want ads in the forum that I've read them, and I've went, that's interesting. That doesn't sound like a straight exotic dancer to me when I read the ad. There's a whole lot of things going on here. We'll touch on that next with Lieutenant Joel Vettel of the Fargo Police Department right here on the Mighty 790 KFGO on the Mike McFeely Show. Bison have crossed the 50 now, Pinto. They're in Kansas State territory. We all know how it turns out. Brock Jensen scores a touchdown and NDSU wins, but They're across the 50, so it'll come soon here.
It's like rewatching your favorite movie. You know what's going to happen, but you just want to watch it again.
But you want to see what happened. You can see some of the blocking going on. You have a chance to kind of reflect on what exactly happened. You heard the promos for the alternative call to My Oh My. You can text those to code 35270 here at KFGO. Tomorrow's the day, I think, when Scotty Miller will pick the winner. And I think he's actually going to voice some of the alternative calls that people have texted. And so you can text that in. If Scott Miller couldn't use My Oh My or wasn't going to, what alternative touchdown call would you like to have him use? You can text that to 35270. If you want to join the Mike McFeely Show VIP text club and get updates and contest opportunities and all the inside dope on this radio show, you can text the word Mike to short code 35270, and then you'll become part of the Mike McFeely Show text club. For now, we are talking with Fargo Police Lieutenant Joel Vettel. We'll talk for a couple more seconds about human trafficking and prostitution in Fargo. And people think that it doesn't happen here. It's, I don't see anybody standing on a street corner in a red tight dress, soliciting. That doesn't mean it's not happening. It happens in different ways these days. It's not, there's not necessarily a red light district. I think Moorhead used to be the red light district for Fargo, actually, back in the 1800s. Still might be in some ways. I don't know. But it doesn't happen that way. But the point is, I think that the Fargo police are trying to get out is that it is in our community, and they're trying to take care of it the best they can with the methods that they can use, because it is a victim. There are victims in this crime. It's not a victimless crime. And in some cases, there are minors involved in human trafficking right here in Fargo. We talked about the online ways, Lieutenant Vettel, that these people solicit prostitution, or the pimps advertise prostitution. But the fact is that in the forum, in the want ads, our local newspaper, there are want ads there where you can also, if you know how to do it, get a hold of a prostitute, right?
Yes. I mean, certainly we have a number of ads that are appearing in a variety of areas. And again, you mentioned one being the local paper. But also, we did a study, just really an informal study here about a year ago. And we just monitored those three outlets, Backpage, Craigslist, and also the Fargo Forum. And within that period of time, about a week-long period, we found about 80 separate ads that we believe were different ads for different folks, advertising for either was one-on-one dancing, it was advertising for this personal massages. And we believe a vast majority of those advertisements, other services, illegal services, were being provided. So you can see that there's the number of places that these folks are advertising. And we feel that even though there has been some regulations put on some of them, especially some of the online ones, there's still a very prolific advertisement for these types of services out there, even locally.
What would you like to see happen here in Fargo? I think Minneapolis, it was the city of Minneapolis, banned some of these online advertisements or backpage.com. If you start talking to the forum, for example, they're going to say, well, it's freedom of speech, we can accept what advertisements we want to, and you can't prove that these lead to prostitution. So good luck trying to have them stop accepting those advertisements. But what can you do locally to stop this from happening?
A couple of things. One, we still continue that strong enforcement.
Yep.
The next is we continue to educate the public on the issue. But I think one of the things we've tried, and one thing we're going to continue to try, is to address this through a city ordinance. And we have a little difficulty because we have to really address it through state law. And so within the next 2 years, we'll be drafting and completing what would be a ordinance that covers and a registration, if you would, of people coming in and providing any of those types of services involving what's a legal type of service, as they say, the one-on-one dancing, the massages, so that they have to register. They have to basically get a license to do this like they would have any other service here in the community of Fargo. And that way, at least it's allowed to track some of those individuals, and it would really eliminate or greatly reduce those people coming from the outside and just trying to sweep into town, be here for a couple of days, because we literally, if they violate that ordinance, they violate that law, we can arrest them for that. We don't have to find that elements of prostitution. We can simply arrest them for the violation of that permit.
So you want the adult, the dancers, for example, or they'll go to these bachelor parties and just do the dancing, and are you know, quote unquote legitimate. They're not looking to prostitute themselves. They could have a license that would say I'm a registered entertaining dancer or whatever the phrase is I'm looking for. And they could have that on them. And so then if there is some question, you could ask that person, can I see your license? They say, yep, here it is. You'd say, okay, you're good to go.
Exactly. It would literally be an adult entertainment.
Adult entertainment. That's
and the, it would provide us the really the one, the ability to track them, and two, the ability to enforce better some of the illegal acts that are often associated with those legal type of entertainment ideas.
I'm thinking this is a really transient profession, quote unquote, though, that you're going to have a lot of people coming in from the Twin Cities on their way to the oil patch. You're going to have people maybe coming in from Chicago on their way to the oil patch. Maybe they're coming in from Chicago to stop here in Fargo. It's just a lot of, I don't think you're seeing the same faces again and again, are you?
No, and oftentimes what the intel we have is these groups often travel kind of a route, and they hit, they may start off in Chicago, they hit Fargo, North Dakota, they may hit Grand Forks, North Dakota, they might go to the oil patch, they might go down into South Dakota, come back, hit St. Cloud, Minnesota, jump back on a plane in Minneapolis and fly back to Chicago. And so we have that intel that they're making those rounds. What we would want them to do is by providing this ordinance in the city of Fargo, maybe they skip us. Maybe they say it's not worth the hassle for us to have to do this extra, kind of go the extra mile. And if nothing else, when they get here and they don't have those permits, they aren't complying with law, we don't have to worry about trying to catch them in the act of prostitution. All we have to do is go there. If they're taking and doing anything, we can take and make that arrest. And that's, I think that'll deter a lot of those fly-by-night groups from coming in and trying to exploit people here in this community.
Email comes in and says, I attended a National School Board Association seminar in April presented by the Ohio School Board Association. The topic was keeping our kids safe. One of the most disturbing statistics they gave was that human trafficking is second only to drug trafficking in terms of crime. I'm wondering if Lieutenant Vettel would agree with that.
I think certainly nationally. And there is some intel regionally that it's certainly on the rise, but I don't think we can stick our head in the sand and say that we don't have that type of thing here. And we certainly want to address it as quickly as possible. You mentioned it early on, we don't have streetwalkers walking the streets of City of Fargo. There's a number of reasons why. Probably, again, we get back to weather being one of them. But I think the other thing is we need to take and address a lot of those issues on the forefront and take a strong stance. And human trafficking is certainly one that if we don't, can certainly ramp up to get to be far more of a problem than we ever thought it could be.
Okay. As the Bison on TV here from Kansas State are now approaching the goal line, and Brock Jensen's about to go over the goal line, I'm going to lighten up the interview here as we end it here, Lieutenant Vettel. But tailgating on Saturday, 4 o'clock game at the Fargo Dome, NDSU and Ferris State. There's going to be some new tailgating rules in place this year in terms of there's more reserve spots, and I think I had Pat Simmers on to talk about that they kind of are trying to keep people from driving 60 miles an hour across the parking lot to get their best spot. I think Fargo police are going to be involved with this too, just trying to maybe settle things down a little bit because tailgating has become so popular. What kind of things are we looking at here?
Yeah, I think what we probably need to look back is the rules originally designed for tailgating were designed back when we had about 500 of people tailgating.
Yep.
And so we've had to adapt those rules to now well over 5,000 people out there tailgating. And so we've had to do a few things to try to really address certain issues. And things have gone extremely well out there. People have been extremely respectful of a lot of the rules. There's still some that they're a little bit more challenging to others. But I think the biggest changes this year is exactly what you talked about. There's going to be more reserve spots, so there's not going to be what I used to refer to as the land rush kind of mentality where people were running with lawn chairs across doing the 70-yard sprint trying to mark their territory.
Which is as far as they've ever run in their life before, and they want to do it to tailgate, but that's a whole different story. Go ahead.
So I think there's some issues there, but I think those are good. But on the other hand, we are going to line up a little bit different for the reserve vehicles. We're actually going to be lining up in one of the other lots of the Fargo Dome prior to them getting in. It's 5 hours before the event starts. They'll be able to get in that lot. But we've seen those vehicles start lining up to get in the lot 10, 12, 14 hours prior to even the opening of the gate. And so I know that seems a little extreme. It certainly seems extreme to me, but we need to deal with that. And so how we've dealt with that is to kind of move them into that area. But we need people to respect the issue of no alcohol outside of the specific tailgating areas, which is that east side, that E and F lot located on the, the west side.
The west side.
And not be drinking in any other lots that aren't designated as tailgate lots. Because if we do, it's not only it's a violation of law, but it's certainly one of those issues that could ruin the actual tailgating event and cause certainly people to have to readdress how we deal with the issue.
I know another issue that I've noticed is that people will go into the tailgating area and not necessarily be tailgating with their vehicle, right? They'll drive in their pickup or they'll drive in a car, and then they'll just visit with their neighbors and tailgate with them. I think in the perfect world, and good luck trying to get a perfect world, but everybody who went into the tailgating lot would actually be tailgating, and people like me who just glom onto my friends would park somewhere else. I park across the street. I park across 19th Avenue North over in the Skills and Technology Center. I walk the block to the tailgating area because, you know, I have two legs and can do that, and it's fine. Sometimes I park up by the Vision Bank up on North University because that's the closest spot I can get. I'm guessing you'd like folks to do that as well. And maybe that's not your issue, but maybe that's more of a Pat Simmers issue, but that would be the way to go, I think.
You're exactly right. We've had that discussion numerous times, how we can make it better. And I know, folks, there's a variety of reasons why people don't want to park in other spots and then have to walk. Maybe I'm probably just as bad as anybody else. I'd love to be able to the ability to show up 5 minutes before an event, park right in the front of the building and walk on in and never have to walk more than 50 yards. But in this day and age, especially with the growth of tailgating, we're asking people to be respectful of everyone. And the best way that we can do that is people to use common sense. So if you're not going to be utilizing a tailgating spot over there, don't just park your car there because that really does take away from other people having the ability to tailgate in that area if they choose to. And the other part of that is we want people to be respectful of all the rules. And oftentimes what we see is just that small percentage of folks that overdo it, that overconsume and turn it into tailgating should be a celebration of NDSU football game. It shouldn't be the other way around where people are just coming out just strictly to tailgate, turn it into a 10, 12-hour party. That's not what it's designed for. It's designed to celebrate and try to get ready for the event.
But even with that, has Fargo Police, have you guys had a lot of issues? Because I've been to a lot of tailgating the last couple of years, and I've seen a couple of fights among younger, it looked like college-age kids wanted to duke it out because they got in an argument about something stupid, probably a girl, whatever. Not that girls are stupid, but they got into some argument and they fought. But I haven't seen much in terms of people really being stupid or really being jack-you-know-whats out there.
Exactly, and I think there's a lot of self-monitoring that goes on. I think there's people willing to step up if they see a behavior that isn't conducive for a family environment. They're willing to step up and say something. And so we've been very fortunate in that aspect. We have had almost zero problems in tailgating area. And oftentimes when we do have problems, we address them very quickly. And oftentimes those folks just, they don't come back. And we're fine with that. I think NDSU certainly has stated from the get-go and the Fargo Dome has stated from the get-go, if we have problems, if we have issues with certain people, we're just not going to have them come back.
Yeah. And I know that we have a 12-year-old daughter and she likes to tailgate and we have no trouble bringing her. And if there's a problem, we just walk away. But normally it's just no big deal. One last question. We're running short on time. I have to ask you, any thoughts of doing any traffic control before the games? Because I still think that people crossing 19th Avenue and going back and forth from, you know, whether it's Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever, the traffic's coming. Hate to say it, people are drinking even before they get in their car. I just see a problem there.
When I say this, I say it tongue in cheek. I certainly, we have talked about the Frogger that people have played across 19th Avenue for a number of years. There's a lot of difficulties that we've tried to address through that. We do have a plan in place right now to take really control of that over a long term, but it costs money. And it costs a lot of money to do it. And so we are addressing it. It's in the plan. I would say within the next 5 to 6 years, we're going to have a permanent solution.
Are we talking a bridge here?
We're talking a couple of things.
A bridge, a tunnel. I think that's what I hear here.
Yeah, there's certainly some structures that are going to have to be built, but in the end, it's going to be a great thing for Fargo, and I think we all want to come down to is make this event as safe as possible, and it's got to be a permanent solution up there to do that.
All right, Lieutenant, thank you. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for giving us almost an hour. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You bet, Lieutenant Joel Vettel, Fargo Police.